This comment is from Nicole Young. Good evening. I am writing to you as an HCPS teacher and parent. While I appreciate the desire to have our school system return to normal, I respectfully disagree with the methodology. First, why aren't teachers and other staff members being made a part of the planning process? Merely being asked for feedback after the fact is not sufficient. This is not authentic collaboration. Second, as a teacher, I understand the need to be flexible, but how can I effectively plan lessons for my students when it seems as though the reopening plans change almost weekly? Just as teachers and students are finally getting the hang of its learning and maintaining engagement in a virtual world, our plans are turned upside down again. Students need consistency and routine, and you are not allowing for that. I ask that you at least allow us to continue with our current model through the end of the first quarter before moving forward. Third, teachers have spent a lot of time, money, and effort setting up spaces in our homes that are conducive to teaching. These involve extra monitors, sit-stand desks, writing slates for computer annotation, and raised platforms for monitors, to name a few. Are you going to provide these resources for us in our classrooms? Have the additional Chromebooks been delivered for the K-3 students, or will those students be expected to bring their personal devices to school in the meantime? Have the teacher webcams arrived and been installed in our classrooms so that we can effectively teach in-person and virtual students simultaneously? I hope that you are transparent with the parents of our community when you explain the newest plan. Based on my understanding of the plan, while children will physically sit in our classrooms, they will still be seated behind a computer with their headphones on while I teach from my computer so that I can also attend to the students who are working virtually from home. With students in the classroom, masks will have to be worn by all, including the teacher. A mask could make it more difficult for students to hear or understand what the teacher is saying. This is especially true at the elementary level, where children are focusing on phonemic awareness and pronunciation. You'll be putting those students at a greater disadvantage compared to now, where they can actually see their teacher's smiling face as they talk. Virtual teaching is a serious juggling act. While teaching a lesson, I am keeping an eye on students in the lobby so that I can allow them into the Teams meeting, checking for raised hands, monitoring behaviors of those students with cameras on, and monitoring the chat for questions for inappropriate comments. By bringing small groups of students into the classroom, you are now asking me to juggle even more balls. Now I must monitor the behaviors and questions of students in the room. Should they be encouraged to communicate with me through the chat feature, even though we are in the same room? At what point does it become too much for any one teacher? I don't know that I want to send my own child into school if this is the experience she will have. Finally, what safeguards will be put into place to prevent an outbreak in a school building? What will happen if a student or teacher tests positively? As a teacher with an underlying heart condition, it is imperative that I know my health and well-being, as well as that of everyone in the building, is taken into consideration. Without some clear answers, I don't feel comfortable being mandated back into the classroom at this time. Thank you for your time. Our next comment is from Melissa McCray. My name is Melissa McCray, and I'm a paraeducator at North Bend Elementary and also the parent of two HCPS middle schoolers. I have some concerns about the return to school plan that I'd like for you to consider. One, it is imperative to give parents a choice about whether or not to send their children into the buildings. If the choice is given, it should include the same synchronous options offered now. Two, ideally teachers should be assigned either in-person classes or virtual classes. This would alleviate trying to juggle both at the same time. It will also allow many of those teachers with underlying health conditions to continue teaching. Three, please consider adding additional planning days for teachers. If this plan stands, they will simultaneously be teaching some students 5 days a week, some students once or twice a week, and some students virtually. While I know in my heart that teachers are capable of super strength and abilities, this is an almost impossible task, and they will need additional time to prepare. Four, if the plan stands as is, at the very least, primary grades, pre-K through 2, will require more than one professional in the classroom. It will be impossible to teach young children both virtually and in person at the same time. Please consider requiring a teacher and another adult in each primary classroom. I want to personally thank each one of you for your hard work during these impossible times. There is no good solution right now, and you will probably create anger for many with whatever you decide. Please remember that teachers want to be with their students more than anything, but only if it can be done safely and without harm to our school communities. Please listen to those people who are in the school daily. They have better insight to the details of this situation and truly have the best interest of the young people they serve at heart. Our next comment is from Mark Allegi. Thank you for the opportunity to submit comments. I think it is problematic that the Board of Education meetings continue to be virtual, yet according to the superintendent, it is going to supposedly be perfectly safe for all of us to return in the classroom in 3 weeks. I assume the Board of Education meetings at that point will be in person as well. I have been a teacher in Harford County for the last 17 years, and it is very concerning that the very people who are supposed to be implementing these plans are never asked for any input until after the plan is submitted by the superintendent. The communication and the request for feedback should come well before this stage, and the very employees who are required to implement the plan should be involved from the beginning stages, or it will never work. I am a middle school physical education teacher and cannot fathom how I am supposed to teach phys ed live in person to Learning Center students, and those students that will be attending in person in December 2 days a week. Also, while virtual teaching all of the rest of my total 208 students. Logistically, this is impossible, being in a large gym trying to watch my students who are physically present and also run over to check and teach them from a laptop simultaneously. I teach at the new Havre de Grace Middle High School, and the only resources we have right now at our disposal is the middle school gym because the fitness lab is not completed and the community room is being used as storage and is unavailable. If I were to go outside, if the weather cooperates, I would need to bring my laptop to outside. However, this also will not work as there is no Wi-Fi outside the school. So that is not an option. Also, our students are not allowed to use gym equipment because it is not safe. Another problem is the students will be bringing their laptops to the gym where there are no desks and they will be forced to sit on the floor with a laptop in front of them, attempting to perform their physical activities with a laptop on the floor. In addition, what PPE is being provided to the teachers? How much time in between classes will there be to provide proper sanitizing and cleaning of our teacher and community areas in the gym? Also, we have 3 PE teachers and 1 middle school gym to utilize, so I assume we will all be teaching our students at the same time in the gym, and it seems impossible to be able to do so and socially distance. Another area of concern for the students themselves is that they will need to wear masks while participating in gym as they will be inside the building, and that will be difficult while performing physical activity. Will temperature checks be taken upon entering the buildings like many other businesses require? What is the protocol when someone is exposed to a person who has tested positive, and how will communication occur to advise teachers and staff when there has been a positive test? I am also a parent of a third grade HCPS student who, as you know, did not get a device this school year. When she is required to go into school starting November 4th, will her device be provided at that time? If the devices still have not been received by the vendor, how is she supposed to sit in class and access its learning and all the virtual teaching that is still actually going to be occurring despite her physically being in the building? Will she be relegated to packet work, which will be a step backwards from what she is currently doing now while at home learning virtually from her teachers with our personal device that we luckily were able to provide to her? Will she have any opportunity to take off her mask during the 6 hours she's in school other than during lunch? Will she have any interaction with her classmates or her teachers other than staring at her device while sitting at her desk while her teacher is teaching online sitting a few feet away? As a parent and teacher, no one wants school to be back to normal more than I do. My daughter wants to go back to school, and I want to be back teaching my students as normal. But this plan is anything but normal and simply sets teachers up for failure with unrealistic expectations and too many responsibilities on top of our normal daily teaching responsibilities. This plan doesn't help students or teachers in any way and continues to put everyone's health and safety at risk because there are virtually no protocols in place for cleaning or testing or monitoring the virus. Finally, because I have young children who are not back in school full-time and in person, I will need to take off much more often this year than I ever have to assist my wife, who is working and also handling virtual learning. I want to ensure that I will not be penalized for using the leave that I have earned during my 17 years teaching for HCPS and have a right to utilize. Thank you for your time and the opportunity to comment. Our next comment is from Elizabeth Nemeth. Dear Superintendent Bolson and members of the board, I have been an educator in Harford County Public Schools for 14 years. I am passionate about the importance of education and my role to help students grow academically, socially, and emotionally. Even though virtual teaching is not ideal, students and staff are adapting, learning, and gaining competence in this new form of learning. A return to the classroom now will be far from what students are used to and will make learning even more challenging due to the necessary protocols to prevent the spread of COVID-19. I have grave concerns about Governor Hogan's proposal for students to return to school. The $10 million offer from Governor Hogan will not even be a drop in the bucket for the money needed to pay for the PPE, cleaning supplies, additional staffing, substitutes, etc. to make schools safe and functional during this pandemic. I am sure you are aware of the many schools and colleges that have reopened only to transition to virtual learning due to the increase of COVID-19 cases and the inability to keep it from spreading. HCPS can learn from this and maintain confidence in their original decision to remain virtual until after second quarter. I do not envy your situation. These are unprecedented times with many varying opinions about how to solve the problems related to COVID-19. I am disappointed, however, that educators were not consulted in this decision. As you know, educators are in the classroom constantly thinking about the logistics of every second of the day. Who better to ask than those who pour their heart and soul into planning to make each school day successful for students? My hope is that you have or will consider the following questions and concerns. In the reopening plan, the regression stage only says we will revisit going back to stricter procedures such as all virtual learning. I propose that if the percentage increases, we protect students and staff by returning to virtual learning exclusively. The two metrics stated to be used are the weekly average positivity rate and the weekly average new case rate per 100,000 residents. When looking at the weekly average new case rate per 100,000 residents, the rate is always going to be low because not everyone gets tested. Can we trust that we will get accurate data when the numbers are being politicized? How are you going to accommodate the PPE and safety procedures necessary? Our office staff are protected by a plexiglass shield and only see people for a few minutes. Teachers see anywhere from 30 to over 100 students for at least an hour, which is high exposure. What happens when a student refuses to follow the safety protocols? How will rooms be cleaned in between classes? If teachers are responsible for the cleaning, who will be monitoring students during class changes in secondary schools and some elementary schools? Virtual teaching requires full attention to manage the chat, student comments, and questions while providing an engaging lesson. Many teachers have purchased another monitor to be able to complete this task. To introduce another group of students into the classroom means I must divide my attention. There will be no way for teachers to know what students are sharing or saying virtually if they must divide their focus. There will no doubt be issues with inappropriate behaviors being shared virtually with no accountability. Proximity is a huge part of teaching. With the current pandemic, I do not feel comfortable teaching in the same way. Even if I only see a quarter of my students each day, I am still being exposed to the same number of students over the course of the week. That means 105 potential contact points for me. Other families are one or two educators with children in other schools, increasing the number exponentially. Who will substitute when teachers are quarantined or isolated? There is already a substitute shortage, and those who usually substitute are often from the high-risk group. Teachers should not be pulled for coverage with all the planning necessary for hybrid teaching. We are recreating everything to teach in a new way and are spending well over the planning time allotted during the day to plan even more than we did before. In July, when the county decided to educate students virtually, I felt our school system had the best interests of students and staff in mind. I felt the lives of students and staff were valued. Now I feel a political agenda and a few vocal citizens have convinced HCPS to open schools when it simply is not safe or feasible. Students will learn. We are educators who know how to close gaps in learning. What we cannot do nor can any profession, is replace lives lost due to COVID-19. Even if it isn't fatal, doctors and scientists think it can have lifelong effects, even for our children. We aren't just numbers. We are people with hopes, dreams, and families and friends that will all be lost if we die. Isn't virtual teaching worth continuing, even if it saves one life? Thank you for your time and consideration. Our next comment is from Jennifer Neely. I am both a teacher and parent writing to express my support for virtual learning and concerns with in-person learning come October. I have some questions and concerns that I would like to share. One, as both a teacher and parent, what precautions will be taken to keep me, my daughter, and my students protected? As a teacher, how will I properly teach and support the students in my classroom along with all my virtual students? Three, how will teachers like myself be given time to set up classrooms since my classroom is a learning center? I will not be allowed to be in my room setting up those three Fridays while students are using my room. Four, if teachers must quarantine, can we still work from home? I feel having to use our sick time isn't something we should have to do. I am all for wanting to be back in the classroom with my students. However, I would like that to happen with plenty of time and preparation to ensure it is safe for all staff and students. Please reconsider the in-person plan. Our next comment is from Megan Morrison. Members of the board and HCPS community members, I am writing to express my concerns with Dr. Poulsen's plan to return to in-person learning as described to us on Friday. I have serious concerns as both an HCPS teacher and as a parent of an HCPS student. One, thousands of families in the HCPS community had their lives upended when schools suddenly closed for COVID-19. The last 6 months have been stressful and full of uncertainty for all of us. The decisions being made about the return to school cannot possibly please everyone. However, when HCPS announced that we would be learning virtually through January 2021, we finally had a plan that we could plan our lives around. Many parents made the difficult decision to leave their jobs in order to manage schooling at home for their children. Families remodeled rooms in their homes, created learning spaces for their students, bought desks and educational materials. Teachers built classrooms in their homes to welcome their online learners. We spent time and money committing 100% to virtual learning. We had a plan. In a time of such uncertainty, we were so grateful to have a plan. The plan is virtual learning through January 2021. Stick with the plan. 2. Dr. Bolson's plan for in-person learning isn't actually in-person learning. It's virtual learning with bodies together in a room. There is absolutely no benefit to my teaching nor to my students' learning, if anything. This plan is so much worse. Teachers are trying desperately to build relationships with students through a computer screen. Under this plan, I will not only be stuck behind my computer, now I'll also be stuck behind a mask. So what if we're physically in the building? What kind of learning experience is that for the few students also stuck behind masks and computers, or for the rest learning from home from a teacher in a mask? 3. If teachers are expected to return to in-person learning with students in the classroom, please describe exactly what type of PPE HCPS is going to provide to ensure my safety and the safety of my students. N95 masks, cleaning supplies, plexiglass. I have my students use their desktops as dry erase boards just so I can hand out Clorox wipes to clean the desk at least once a week. If I don't do this, my desks don't get cleaned at all. The custodians don't wipe them down even once in a school year. Now I have to rely on our custodial staff to disinfect every desk, chair, countertop, sink, toilet, doorknob every night between groups of students. My health and the health of my students and all of our families are depending on it. Can you guarantee that every building and every classroom will be sanitized per CDC guidelines every single night? Or am I expected to do my own sanitizing of my classroom? Do I have to provide my own cleaning products too? Are we paying out of our own pockets yet again to cover something that should be provided by the county? I'll be sure to grab the one container of Clorox wipes I'm allowed to buy the next time I see one, just in case. Oh, that's right. You can't find them anywhere. 4. Why have teachers and parents not been included in the decision-making process about the safe return to an in-person learning? Do you even know how many of your educators feel safe returning to our buildings? How can you possibly expect us to feel safe when you've offered no explanation of the safety precautions you're taking to protect us, if any? Your lack of communication is inciting panic among the community. How many parents even want their child back in school buildings? Why haven't you surveyed us again to see which teachers and students want to return to buildings versus those who want to remain virtual? Dr. Bolson, do you even care what teachers or parents want? It seems like yours is the only opinion that matters in all of this. Why are you deviating from the plan? 5. My 72-year-old mother lives with me and my family. Although she is relatively healthy at this moment, she has a significant medical history. I'll be bringing germs home to her every day. My father is in very poor health and is the prime candidate to become gravely ill if he is ever directly exposed to COVID. I am an only child and he directly relies on me for care. If I return to the classroom without proper safety precautions in place and without proper PPE, I am at risk of bringing home everything I'm exposed to at school. Am I forced to not see my dad for the next 9 months in order to keep him safe? Who will care for him in my absence? If anything ever happened to either or one of my parents, I would never forgive myself. If I'm being forced to choose between my family and my job, my family will win every time. Are you prepared to deal with the resignations when you force us back into the buildings without a real plan of how to keep us safe? There is absolutely no benefit to teaching and learning under this plan to return to in-person learning. The only thing it does is expose us all to each other. It is an unnecessary risk to take for zero benefit. Statistically speaking, students and staff will get sick and some will likely die. You will have blood on your hands. No teacher or student is expendable. I implore you to stick to the plan as produced to the state in August for virtual instruction through January 2021. Take the next 3 months and devise a new plan for safely returning to in-person learning with the direct input from all HCPS stakeholders. Parents and teachers deserve to be part of the decision-making process. Our next comment is from Lindsay Bauman. Dear Dr. Bolson and members of the HCPS Board of Education, I'm writing you to share my concerns about your plans for students and staff to return to in-person learning over the next several weeks. Upon hearing this information from my school admin last week, I, as well as the rest of the staff, were left with many questions and concerns and little reassurances of a concrete, well-thought-out plan. I would like to share a few of my major concerns with you now. First and foremost, my concern is for the health and safety of the staff and students who are asking to return. During the first 2 weeks of school, over 50 students were sent home due to COVID-19 symptoms or exposure to someone who showed symptoms. Although I commend the school system for its caution and care, this is a significant percentage of the relatively small group of students and staff currently in the LSC buildings. My concern is that with the increased number of staff and students physically in building, that the ability for the schools to contain and protect against the spread of the virus will not be effective. What is your plan to provide PPE for all staff in classrooms? Will you be purchasing masks, disinfecting wipes, hand sanitizer, ensuring that all bathrooms and sinks have an adequate supply of soap and paper towels at all times? Many of these materials are ones that teachers or parents must supply or do without in a normal year, but in the present circumstances, that will be unacceptable. Additionally, what are your plans to limit physical contact? At present, Learning Center classrooms contain no more than 8 students who are self-contained in clusters. When you bring in additional staff and students, the distance between people in the classroom, hallways, lunchroom, etc., will decrease. Also, if specialists and special area teachers meet in person with all their classes, whether in their own rooms or rotating into the general classrooms, this means that none of the clusters will remain self-contained. If one person became sick in a room where the specialist or special area teacher was, they could potentially spread it to the entire school. My second major concern is for the practicality and logistics of teaching in the hybrid environment. At present, our K through third graders do not have devices, and so our elementary teachers are already doing double duty trying to support students who are able to attend the live virtual lessons, sometimes juggling 2 screens just to see everyone, and create lessons and support students who are learning asynchronously. I am personally and regularly working 10 to 12 hour days and weekends just to stay on top of my current workload. Now you would like to add a third in-person group of students to our already overwhelming plate. As you are aware, the webcams are also still in back order, and without this piece of equipment, teachers will be tethered to their computer. I am unsure how I will even be able to juggle all these moving parts and effectively teach. Additionally, when students and staff are forced to quarantine, as will undoubtedly happen, both students and teachers will need to go back and forth between fully virtual and hybrid. This lack of consistency is terrible for students and quite frustrating for adults as well. You are essentially asking us to continually change how we plan for and teach every few weeks, which doesn't make for effective instruction. Finally, I am frustrated by the lack of input from teachers and the union in this decision. We educators and support staff are the people in the trenches. We are on the front lines implementing your current plan and working to make miracles despite the limitations of our situation. Rather than give this current plan time, you are pulling the rug out from under us and asking us just to accept these changes. You continually speak about HCPS being a community partnership between the board, central office, educators, parents, and students. While that is a great thing to say, it's much harder to do. I would like to see the union, who regularly seeks educator feedback and input, to be part of the proactive planning of these major changes. They speak on our behalf and should be part of the decision-making team. It is my hope that you will take more time to fully think through and plan for the complex logistics of return staff and students to in-person learning. This isn't something we can afford to rush. We must look out for the health and welfare of staff and students to make sure that we have all the PPE and technology needed for teachers to do their jobs and allow opportunities for educators and the union to be part of the decision-making process. I want us to return to school as well, but not before we take the time needed to ensure we are ready. Thank you for your time and consideration in these matters. Our next comment is from Christine and Tim McMullen. First and foremost, please know that we believe that most teachers are working very hard and doing their best with the virtual learning. We believe that the effort put forth by the administration and teachers is much improved than what we saw in the spring. That being said, it is what it is, and is certainly not equal to in-person learning and teaching. Our children are high school students, a freshman and a junior. Our children started out in the Learning Center at NHHS after Labor Day for fear that our generally unreliable internet would not sustain 2 people streaming at the same time. After the first week in the learning centers, our children begged to try virtual school from home. They described the learning center as in-school detention. No effort was made to encourage movement even during the free time during the lunch break. There were no opportunities to go outside, stretch their legs, walk on the track, or remove their masks. Fortunately, we tried it from home last week, and the internet held up. Additionally, we would certainly not equate the learning center with a return-to-classroom setup. It would be an understatement to say that the virtual learning is not working for our children. Both of our children have an IEP suffering from different learning disabilities. Our daughter, the junior, has come a very long way and is nearly independent. As a junior this year, she has some very challenging classes. She's already feeling as though she is falling behind. Being unable to log into all of her core classes while at the learning center on the first day of actual instruction due to a system crash certainly did not help matters. She's already inquiring about a tutor for her physics class. Our son, this freshman who is diagnosed with an executive functioning disorder, is falling behind quickly. He struggles with the various computer platforms and is embarrassed to ask the teachers to slow down. He has taken nearly no notes during any of his classes unless one of us are sitting with him. Like many people, we cannot and do not work from home, so obviously this will rarely happen. His IEP does address these issues and allows accommodations to assist, but most are not feasible with online learning. That being said, the special educators are trying on Fridays and even at times during the week, which we greatly appreciate. It is just not the same. He needs them now and in person. We are incredibly disappointed in the HCPS BOE's lack of planning and lack of enthusiasm to return to the classroom or provide an option to the families. A review of the most recent plan proves it to be lacking inspiration. The metrics continue repeated in the plan include positive cases at less than 5%. Our county has been at this level for months and throughout this entire pandemic has been among the best of the populated counties in the state. Not to mention that as of Sunday, 9/20, our state was at less than 2%. To propose that teachers do not return to the classroom until 10/12 is ludicrous. For high school students not to return until November 16th and then for it to be one day a week is just ridiculous and, again, seriously lacking. Our kids deserve better. PA schools just above us are successfully back in the classroom. They had an option, 100% in-school, 100% virtual, or a part-time hybrid. My understanding is that 60% of the families chose for their children to be back in class 100%. It can be done and done successfully. They've had very little interruption because they are using common sense with documented positive cases and not overreacting at every cough or sniffle. It is time to get our kids back in school ASAP and to get school sports started ASAP. Our children need to be in the classroom and interacting with their peers before any more emotional damage is done. Our next statement is from Robin Luber. Dear HCPS Board, we are now at a statewide positivity rate of about 2%. The schools need to be open 5 days a week now. There is no reason to keep the schools closed. Kids cannot get back this lost time. You should work to expedite the return of all students to full-time school by mid-October. What has happened is a travesty. Teenagers are struggling with serious mental health issues. Open the schools now. Thank you. Our next statement is from Matthew Jordan. I am writing to express my apprehension about the return to in-person learning plans, specifically the outlined dates for certain students to return to the classroom. Here are my concerns and questions regarding Dr. Bolson's plan. 1. Who is responsible for supplying teachers, staff, and students with appropriate PPE, including masks, sanitizer, soap, disinfecting sprays, and disinfecting wipes? With these items hard to come by across the U.S. right now, it seems that this is a huge obstacle but a necessity for this plan to be safe and effective. 2. What is the benefit for 25% of students per class attending 1 day per week of in-person instruction? Are those students in class still learning virtually alongside the other 75% of students at home, or will the instruction look different? How could it, though, when one teacher has to teach 100% of the students in live instruction? Teachers certainly cannot leave students on teams unattended while delivering any personalized instruction in the classroom. Teachers have been extended beyond what should ever be considered reasonable at this point. Having two groups of students to attend to goes beyond what should be expected. 3. Teaching 100% of the students virtually now allows for no masks to be worn by teachers and students except those that chose to attend learning support centers. This aids in relationship building, which is crucial at both elementary and secondary levels. Teachers build enthusiasm, gauge student understanding, and build rapport with their soft skills like smiling and facial expressions. This component will be lost if all teachers are at school wearing masks all day while still teaching virtually. I question the accessibility for our primary students learning letters and sounds. They need to see teachers' mouths and how they move to form every alphabet sound. 4. If devices are not obtained for all students in grades K through 3 and for all students who opted out in grades 4 through 12 because they have their own devices at home, then how will students returning for this limited hybrid plan learn virtually? Are they expected to bring their personal devices to school 1 day per week or more days per week when that begins? That request would not be received well by parents. 5. If one student in a cohort exhibits COVID-19 symptoms and is deemed at risk of having COVID-19, then do all students in that cohort quarantine for 14 days? If the child refuses a coronavirus test, then is the return date automatically 14 days out for all students and teachers who came into contact? What about any adult he or she came into contact with at school? How is this handled at middle and high school where students have multiple content area classes with different students all day? This plan needs to be publicly addressed with rules and policies clearly outlined. 6. Can parents opt out of returning their child for this 1 or 2 day a week return to school learning plan and have their child stay at home safe while learning virtually 5 days per week? Again, what is the actual purpose of having students return at 25% capacity when they will still be learning virtually? Not only does it increase their risk of contracting COVID-19 or infecting someone else with COVID-19, but it has no effect on the child's learning. 7. The original date to return was after semester 1. There was no mention that this date would be reevaluated. What is the rush now? This limited hybrid plan does not seem to benefit our students or teachers. Is this not who should be the focus of our decisions in HCPS? We need to do what is in the best interests of the students. This limited plan is not it. I strongly believe that HCPS should focus on safe, manageable, in-person opportunities for students at high risk and students that require special education and additional services support. I believe most faculty, staff, and students should remain virtual semester 1. This will allow for a more cohesive, manageable plan and a safer plan to be developed with input from all stakeholders. Our next comment is from Cindy Poper. Dear President Robinson, Vice President Gauthier, Superintendent Bolson, and members of the board, I, like most educators, am struggling with virtual learning. We are struggling with technology issues, struggling with compatibility issues between ITS Learning and the Chromebooks, struggling with students' frustrations, struggling with behavior issues in Teams meetings and the Teams chat, struggling with trying to teach in 30 minutes what has always been taught in 53, struggling to manage the multiple facts of virtual teaching, struggling with parent frustration, struggling with kids not turning on cameras and teaching to a screen full of black dots. But the biggest struggle we are all having is missing the person-to-person interactions that we have with our kids. We all want to be in person with the kids, but we all want to do it safely. We want to do it in a way that will be positive. We want to do it when everyone is ready. We want to do it slowly and carefully so that once we bring kids back in the buildings, they can stay in the buildings. If we have learned anything from the learning support centers, and yes, I am in one, we have learned that the drop of a hat, 10 people's lives can be turned upside down when a cohort has to be closed. We have learned that not everyone knows where to go to get a rapid test with results in 24 hours. We have learned that both students and staff suffer while being held in limbo. And now you want to increase that tenfold and in 3 weeks. The biggest complaint to all the various plans out there is the disruption to contiguous learning when changes happen. Every time we change the way we are doing things, we will lose time. Time getting kids back on schedule, time settling fears and frustrations, time setting a new routine, all time taken from instruction. The plan being presented tonight will change things just as we have gotten kids settled, gotten them into a routine, and have gotten things running more smoothly. We will change everything once again several weeks after that, and then again when cohorts or even larger portions of entire schools must be sent home to isolate and quarantine. Back to square one. Please take a step back. Think about the effect on all kids, but most especially the early grades, when they have to bounce back and forth every time we have a student with symptoms or, heaven forbid, a positive test. Please take a step back and take the time to talk to those in the learning centers, both staff and students. Talk to educators, both certified, certificated, and ESPs, about their concerns about your plan and hear their questions. Collaborating on a plan, don't just preview a done deal. Please do not bow to the unending pressure being put on you by politicians, keyboard warriors, MSDE, the state superintendent, and the governor, and put our students and staff ahead of any rush to implement a plan that is not in their best interest. Our next statement is from Christy Crawford Smick, president of the Harford County Education Association. Good evening, Dr. Bolson and board members. I am very concerned that HCPS is rushing its plan to return to in-person instruction. Without a fully developed plan, it is irresponsible to move forward. All educators would like to be back in their school buildings, but we must do so safely. We need the resources and supports to be there safely. Nothing about this is easy. I do not envy the people who have spent months developing plans to be repeatedly derailed by state leaders. There has been something missing from the planning process. The voice of educators, the people who are living this, are pivotal stakeholders and need to be involved in the decision-making process. Simply asking for feedback after a plan is completed is not authentic collaboration. Last week, I wrote about the excessive teacher workload. I had hoped HCPS would attempt to lighten the impossible requirements that have been placed on educators during this phase of virtual learning. Instead, just when educators are starting to fine-tune their craft, HCPS is choosing to move towards in-person instruction and increase educators' demands even more. They will now be required to teach asynchronous students with a device at home, students with a packet, and students in person who will not all have a device. How is that possible? Why are you rushing this? Being in school will essentially be the same as learning at home because teachers will be tethered to their desks, webcams are still on back order, and Chromebooks will likely not be in the hands of students. These issues were beyond your control, but you can control how we move forward. Slow down and develop a plan. Waiting until at least the second quarter will allow HCPS leaders to collaborate with teachers and ESPs and fully develop a plan. This will also provide time for the devices to arrive. In addition, we need to ensure that student and employee safety is paramount. You are unnecessarily choosing to hit the gas when we honestly have no idea if the learning support centers have impacted the infection rate. We all know that face-to-face instruction is best, but we are not operating under normal circumstances. Let's work together to ensure that when the school buildings open, they can safely remain open. HCEA represents the nearly 75% of HCPS employees. They're all counting on us to get this right. Our next comment is from Colette Mathai. I wanted to thank HCPS for hearing our voices in this matter. However, I have two things I'd like to contest. There needs to be a survey sent out to see who wants their child or children back in school first and foremost. In addition to that, starting off at one day a week and gradually moving up every 4 weeks isn't beneficial. The children have too long of a wait before getting back into the classroom, making them more resistant to going back and do the virtual the rest of the week. Knowing how many kids are coming back would help and should have been done a long time ago. Then waiting 4 weeks to move up to 2 days? Come on, we've only been doing this for 2 weeks and families are already losing it. Why can't we start at 2 days a week and shorten the time length between moving up? How about 2 weeks? I understand safety, but if the children are wearing masks and 6 feet apart the majority of the time, the numbers are down still when more things are opening up. What's the problem? Also, I'd like to bring up the hysteria that will happen if these ridiculous restrictions are not somewhat relaxed. You can't send a child home every time someone has to clear their throat, has congestion that morning, or has a runny nose. That will create more stress and anxiety on the parents, children, and everyone involved. If you want a child to get an unpleasant test every time something happens, it's going to make the children not want to come to school in person, and they already hate virtual. So where do we stand then? These are the things that we as parents who want our children back in school sit up at night and think about. So HCPS, it looks like potentially you've been listening. Are you still listening? Because we see our children slipping and HCPS needs to help bring them back. Our next comment is from Jennifer Billidou. We all want what is best for our children. We want them to learn, but we also want them to be safe. In the current situation, it is not safe enough for our students to return to the classroom, and this is unlikely to change until widespread vaccination is met. Across the country, major universities that serve adult student populations who should be able to follow guidelines on their own are experiencing significant outbreaks of COVID-19 cases. If we rashly decide to bring our student population back to the schools too soon, we are likely to suffer similar outbreaks. Planning should always take place, but decisions leading to implementation must be based on science and sound recommendations from experts in the public health field. Our children need to learn, but it must take place in a safe environment. Our next statement is from Matt Casey. I'm a parent of two children in the Harford County public education system, one in elementary and one in middle school. I am stunned at the possible reversal of the Board of Education plan. Our family has been preparing for this all summer and it has not been easy on us. However, we feel it makes sense and reduces risk, so the challenges are well worth it. To have the board suddenly yield to the pressure makes me believe that you have not thought this plan. Pushback is inevitable, but the only thing that is important is the safety of the children. A pandemic is not a convenient situation. Changing the path abruptly while the infection rate is still above 5%, Johns Hopkins' more widely accepted statistics puts Maryland's rate at over 6%, is not the correct path from a medical standpoint. Severn has received two positive cases and is closing down temporarily. Please learn from instances such as this. Families are stretched. If you alter the plan and kids are sent back the moment they become positive, you'll be forced into immediate closure. Imagine the pain you are putting people through worrying about the children only to have them return home weeks later for outbreaks. How likely are we to trust that you have the kids as a priority? How infuriated do you think the population will be to have our lives uprooted yet again if your experiment fails? Employers are grappling with how to utilize the workforce. Many people are trying to hold on to the jobs they have and make ends meet in these trying times. Parents who are working remotely now are clinging to this. If you make it more desirable to hire employees without children, I assure you, companies will. Enough people are looking for work and businesses are in the driver's seat with the workforce. By moving the pendulum in the opposite direction, you will see effects that do not currently exist. Caving to pressure is understandable when so many people are unhappy and making demands, but it is likely that relief will be short-lived. If, most likely, when the second wave of infections comes with the cold weather and schools close, those same parents will be screaming and scrambling for a spot in daycare programs that are already stretched to capacity. I know there are no perfect answers. Many of us planned on having our kids home until February. If the plan keeps changing, many of us will start making a plan that does not change month for month. Having a school system that aids in the spread of this pandemic is a mistake of an enormous magnitude. The American pediatricians are correct that isolation is not the best thing for a child's mind, but anxiety over returning to school and getting sick is equally bad. Thinking that people rush into decisions that put their safety at risk is devastating to a child. I would like to believe that children can adhere to your distancing guidelines. I remember when the joke was to keep teenagers 6 inches apart at a dance. That wasn't realistic back in the day. Keeping elementary school age children 6 feet apart is even less likely. This is not the kind of decision that you want to regret for the rest of your career. This is not the kind of decision I want to think of our school system is coming up with because of pressure from ill-informed people who can't follow the science. Our next comment is from Michael Waylock. The beginning of the school year has brought numerous challenges. However, it is appalling that the Chromebook contract was not more closely monitored when it was essential that all children receive the necessary technology to start a virtual school year. As a result, approximately 3,000 children started their year without the tools necessary to participate in their classrooms. The district has created a class of haves and have-nots, students who can participate with their classes and students who had worksheets. How can a new kindergarten student feel welcomed into the district when its message is here are some worksheets because we cannot provide the means for you to participate in the class, but students who have their own means, by all means, participate? It is unacceptable that the vendor could not deliver 13,000 laptops. It is unacceptable that the district did not inform parents of this potential problem until mid-August, and it is unacceptable that students are now grouped into haves and have-nots because the district cannot meet their obligations. Our next public comment is from George Kasnick. I am a Harford County resident, a Harford County taxpayer, a Harford County voter, a veteran, a parent, and a Harford County Public Schools educator. I ask that the board consider the following. Given that there has been no statistically relevant change in the key COVID statistics in Maryland and Harford County since March 2020, given that the COVID statistics being used to drive decisions are those selected by Governor Hogan, a politician, given that Governor Hogan's numbers are consistently 1 percentage point or 25% of the percentage total, less than the numbers reported by the independent scientific source of Johns Hopkins University, given that no matter what data is used, we remain where we were when we first began virtual learning in the spring, given that in education we have been told repeatedly by our supervisors that we try something for 6 weeks, then adapt and try those adaptations for 4 more weeks prior to making decisions on judging and or changing instructional methods, given that we have spent countless person hours and significant funding to train and prepare for implementing an effective virtual instruction pedagogy, given that we were told we would be instructing virtually through January 2021, at least, given all of these factors, I ask that the Harford County Board of Education consider the following. In returning teachers to the building, what is the effective result? As we will continue to instruct virtually on our computer and lacking sufficient webcams, we will be tethered to our desks. We remain responsible for managing both the students participating virtually remotely and those participating virtually from the classroom. There will be no relevant change to instructional delivery nor instruction itself in our returning partially to in-person learning, be it a 1 day or a 2 day per week hybrid. In exchange for no demonstrable gain and no progress, we now will be teaching in mass as demanded by social distancing strictures while instructing virtually from a room with students present. This retards our already limited ability to build relationships virtually as we lose the nonverbal video cues we have been able to give while unmasked. As educators in either hybrid environment, we will be exposed to the entire student population each week, placing us as instructors at risk again for no demonstrable gain in educational outcomes and placing the students at risk as we can, and most likely will, become vectors for super spreading. In returning teachers to the building, what accommodations have been made to allow for the sudden disruption in educators' lives? While LSCs will be open to the children of staff, this compels staff who have no other options to place their children at risk. For staff who are not residents of Harford County, they do not even have this option and are now forced to scramble to make arrangements for their children without any support from HCPS. We were led to believe there would be no return to the building until January 2021. We are again being asked to do the unreasonable and the impossible. In returning teachers to the building, is sufficient PPE on hand? Are we cleaning classrooms between classes? Are sufficient cleaning supplies on hand to support such cleaning? Who will do the cleaning and where will the time be found? Who will be reviewing these procedures to ensure they meet health guidelines? Will healthcare professionals be involved in designing these algorithms? Why have teachers not been included in any meaningful way in both the discussion of returning to in-person instruction? Why have teachers not been involved in actual decision-making? Do you believe teachers should be involved in such decisions? Do we belong in the room where it happens, given that we are the pivotal stakeholders in this process? In returning teachers to the building, how much time will we be given to prepare our classrooms? Where will this time be found in our schedules? Given that there is no demonstrable gain in educational outcomes and that there has not been a statistically relevant positive change in the COVID data for Maryland, the only conclusion is that returning instructors to the school buildings at this time is a politically motivated decision made to assuage the loudest and most strident voices of a small minority, placing our children and employees at risk without any complimentary reward. I ask that the Harford County Board of Education consider these questions and factors in its deliberations, and as our elected representatives, provide appropriate guidance as well as political cover to HCPS, advising a more cautious and science-based approach to reopening. Thank you for your time. Our next comment this evening is from Catherine Dougherty. I have been an HCPS employee for 16 years. I began my career here, and I hope to end my career here. I've always prided myself on being an HCPS employee, but the events that have occurred over the last 6 months have left me feeling sad, embarrassed, and disappointed. I am disheartened that employees were surveyed over the summer about their comfort level with respect to physically returning to work in the schools, yet certain groups of employees were forced to work in schools anyway. All employees covered under the HCEA negotiated agreement should be held to the same expectations, not just specific groups of employees. Counselors, for example, are covered under the HCEA negotiated agreement and are paid on the same salary schedule as teachers, yet they are being forced to work in the school buildings every day. Why? Why are their families and their health not as important as classroom teachers? They are just as important, and I find it insulting that you would imply otherwise. I am also unnerved by the fact that employees will need to supply their own cleaning and sanitizing supplies, as well as their own PPE. If we are not choosing to return to the school building, why should we be required to use our own money to supply our classrooms with these supplies? We were told in July that we would be teaching virtually until the end of January. So many of us have spent hundreds of dollars to create classrooms in our homes. Who will reimburse us for these costs now that we have only needed these at-home classrooms for a month, not 4 months as we initially thought? In addition, the active slates provided to teachers by the county a few years ago no longer work with the new laptops each employee was assigned. The computer crashed almost instantly after connecting the slate. Many of us have purchased our own, but if software needed to be installed on the HCPS laptop in order for the new slate to work effectively, we were told it wouldn't be done. Lastly, I'm unsure why HCPS is requiring teachers to return to the school building over a month before students will be returning, other than the LSC students. We will still be teaching virtually, so what is the rationale behind requiring teachers to return to the building if we will still be teaching virtually? Do we serve as a test group to see if we get sick before having students enter the building? If we do get sick, will you readjust your plans for students to return in November? In all reality, the webcams that were supposedly ordered in the spring are now on back order, so LSC students will still be learning virtually, even though they are in the classroom with the teacher. If we are to do our jobs effectively, the promises that have been made and the technology that has been promised needs to be physically accessible. Otherwise, this is all for nothing. Students and families were promised individual devices over the summer and then were forced to opt out due to a lack of HCPS accountability and follow-through. As I began with, I've always loved being an HCPS employee. I hope that I am able to regain that love and respect that I know we all deserve. Please reconsider and think of everyone involved and the giant sacrifices we have already made. Please don't make us continue to sacrifice and be disappointed. Thank you for your time. Our next comment is from Miranda Strobel. Hello, I'm addressing you as both a parent and a teacher with 17 years experience with HCPS. I love our school system, the schools my children have attended, the passion that my children's teachers have for their profession and students, and the love my colleagues have directed towards their students and profession. At this moment in the school year, I'm extremely exhausted from planning and executing virtual learning lessons. I easily spend 10 hours at my computer every day, as well as hours over the weekend. The time it takes me to plan one lesson has more than tripled, so to say I just want to stay home because it's easier couldn't be farther from the truth. I've just begun to feel comfortable with this format, and my students are quickly learning how to navigate their technology independently. This didn't happen on accident. It took a lot of training for myself, but also teaching students how to use the technology. Usually, at the beginning of the school year, I invest approximately $350 to $400 into my classroom and preparing it to be a welcoming atmosphere for my students. This year, I spent over $500 to create a workspace for myself and my two children since we were originally told January would be the return date. I do not have any more funds to put into my actual classroom upon my students' return. I am an elementary vocal music teacher. In every class, when my students arrive, we sing together, play instruments, and play singing games. Currently, the CDC and the National Association for Music Education say it is unsafe for children to sing or even hum while wearing a mask. Instruments will need to be sanitized between classes, which will likely mean my class times will be cut short to allow for sanitizing. Almost every game we play involves holding hands in a circle or holding hands with a partner, so you can guess that gameplay will not be permitted either. Imagine an elementary music room where students are spread far apart, not singing and not interacting and making music together. Students will be only allowed to practice basic music theory, but then not be able to apply it in any way. My own children, 11 and 14, one of which is autistic, have thrived in their virtual learning environments. They have done so because of the tireless hours their amazing teachers have put into their lessons and the lesson execution. My autistic child has had multiple meetings with a special education teacher, and she has done a wonderful job of building a trusting relationship with him. He is a freshman, and his grades are at the highest they've ever been. My daughter has always struggled in math, but because of the small group instruction offered on Flex Fridays, her math grade is higher than ever before. As a teacher, I am all for returning students to their classrooms with their teachers, but not in a sterile environment where students have to maintain social distancing and wear masks all day. Can you imagine being a student and not seeing your teacher smile at you, especially the younger ones, or not receiving an encouraging hug or pat on the back? Young students who are learning to read need to see their teacher's mouth to develop phonemic awareness. Hard of hearing students need to be able to see their teacher's face to read their lips. ESL students need to see their teacher's face so they can access the English language. How will we accommodate for the needs of these students? I am aware of the need for technology support for many students in our district. I believe at this point, those students have still been able to access their teachers, and their teachers have been working tirelessly to build relationships with them. I know this message to you is lengthy, but I'm extremely passionate about keeping our students and staff safe and in an environment that will continue with structured routines. Returning to the classroom will likely be a very unstructured and constantly changing. This is not in the best interest of our students, especially those with special needs. I implore you to reconsider the transition to classroom learning at this time. Our students and teachers are more resilient in the virtual learning setting than you think they are. Thank you. Our next comment is from Dawn Stone. I will make this very brief. I have done everything in my power to keep my family safe over the last 9 months. I am a single mother and must be there for my four children. I do not have family around that can help out in an emergency situation. A global pandemic where people are dying and the world must literally shut down is an emergency situation. Yet I have done everything in my power to stay away from the public, including having my groceries delivered, no vacationing, no kids to friends' houses, etc., in order to stay safe. I've worked hundreds of hours for you over the summer, giving up time with my family and watching a two-year-old at the same time, setting up lessons for teachers to use to teach virtually. I've taught these past 2 weeks, again with a two-year-old by my side, and not missed a beat because I work all day and all night for you, for the kids. I have spent hard-earned money to set up a workable home office because I knew I would be here for 5 months, and the only chair I had at my desk was leaving me in horrific pain every night. And now you go and throw it all out the window. Not only have I wasted hundreds that I really couldn't afford on an office that I won't be using, but all the months of sacrifice to keep my family alive is now also for nothing. Because a two-year-old can't social distance. A two-year-old cannot keep a mask on all day. So my two-year-old will get sick with COVID or any other illness and could potentially kill me because I can't social distance from my two-year-old. I am their only income. If you can't even have a meeting in the same room with the rest of the board members, why on earth do you think it's safe for the rest of us? I get the virtual plan doesn't make it easy for everyone, and no matter what, there will be families inconvenienced and you will never ever make everyone happy, but virtual was and is the only option that actually keeps us alive. That should be all that matters. Our next comment is from Michelle Bowditch. Dear Superintendent Bolson and Harford County Board of Education, I appreciate the effort you have made in an attempt to make virtual learning a viable option for teachers and students. There's more that needs to be done to ensure everyone's mental and physical safety. One, the current demands on teachers in grades pre-K through 3 is unsustainable. Teachers are at their breaking point trying to support three modes of instruction at once. They are being asked to support live instruction, asynchronous digital learning, and supporting families who are accessing instruction through paper packets. I'm not sure you are aware of just how much time this takes, so I will tell you, 12 hours a day. That is what teachers in these grades are working. Not to mention the fact that teachers with students in HCPS are also trying to support their own children learning live while also live teaching themselves. Again, this workload is crushing, and I fear if relief is not provided immediately, we will be faced with a host of resignations from teachers who are putting their mental and physical health at risk simply by trying to do their job. 2. With this in mind, as we return to the classroom, what are you going to do to lessen the load of teachers? How can you, in good conscience, ask teachers to support both synchronous and asynchronous digital learning, digital teaching and learning? It is not possible within the confines of a workday, and teachers will need hours of planning time in order to do this well. I urge you to find a solution, such as allowing some teachers to support asynchronous learning working from home while others come in the building and focus only on live instruction. No one can do everything well at once, not you, not me, not any person I know. 3, when we return to the classroom, it needs to be if and only if every student in the room has their own device if we are going to use this current model being suggested. It will not work if we are still short devices. Additionally, each teacher needs to be issued webcams and a supply of disposable face masks, enough for at least 2 per day, as well as a supply of gloves. I would also like to see face shields issued to each teacher, which can be issued as teachers see fit. We know some students, particularly young ones, will struggle at times with wearing masks in compliance with CDC guidelines. Masks and face shields are the first line of defense in the fight against the transmission of COVID-19. Teachers and staff need to be provided PPE free of charge in order to keep them safe. Thank you for your thoughtful consideration on these issues to support our teachers and staff as they work during these unprecedented times to deliver the instruction our students deserve. Our next statement is from Corey Pollock. Every parent, student, administrator, teacher, and support staff has a story, a plea, a fear, an issue, an answer. But the right answer for one is not necessarily the right answer for another. I do not envy anyone in a decision-making role right now, but I do wish to voice my opinion for your consideration. If the rumors are true and venturing back into the classroom means students will still be learning virtually and their teachers will be managing both on-site students and students at home, I ask that you reconsider. This is not in-person learning. This is not an appropriate option for teachers who have already gone above and beyond to create a safe virtual learning space for their students. This is not helpful for parents who have already created arrangements with their employers. This is a go-around to ease angered parents who want kids in school. This is, perhaps, to encourage additional funding for our schools. And this is an answer that puts us all at risk, not just from COVID, but risk of teacher burnout, increased student anxiety, and a whole new pool of scared and upset parents. Please stop making plans and then changing them as soon as there's a sense of normalcy. Please stop being motivated to do anything but putting health and education first. Please stop pulling the rug out from under our teachers. Please just stop and think about whether or not these decisions make sense and are being offered for the right reasons. If in-person learning really means virtual learning from inside of a school, I'd really rather keep my kid home, where he can be mask-free, get additional help from mom or dad, where we can continue to support his teacher's goal efforts, and where safety, consistency, and learning are the goal. Our next comment is from Beth Davis. As I am a high school teacher, I will structure my questions around the proposed plan for the return to school for that age group. Why are students being offered the choice to return to school and teachers are being forced to return to the building for no real benefit to either group? Let's consider what this really means and begin with students. Students would be able to attend school only one day per week, and if that day is scheduled off, like many Mondays, they would miss altogether. Only ever see half of their teachers, either A day or B day, never the other. Be in a class with 25% capacity, but could be more or less depending on schedules. For example, if first period classes have 25% of capacity, those 25% don't all have the same schedule, so second period may have 35% in some, while others have 15%. There are algorithms to help with this, but it is impossible to completely sort to 25% or less in each room all day. Be exposed to 25% of the school population each week. That could be from 200 to 450 people, depending on the size of the school. Be at risk for bringing home the virus to share with siblings, parents, etc. Siblings would also be sharing from their respective schools. Each family could see the potential of thousands of possible contacts each week, which then gets recirculated when one of the students returns to school the next week. If this is supposed to help students feel less isolated, let's take a look at that in reality. Students must remain 6 feet apart, including in the hallways, not touch, shake hands, etc. Bring all their supplies with them everywhere since we can't share. Didn't happen before COVID, won't suddenly happen now. Stay seated separately, wear masks, not engage in group work or hands-on activities, be working on their laptops with earphones so as not to create feedback in the computer sound, in a classroom with their teacher. How is this alleviating isolation? This is highlighting the fact that we can't be together. At home, we are separated. In school, we would be isolated. Our students are more connected over social media than ever before. In-person interactions in school are a tiny fraction of our students' social interactions. Let's face it, our students will sit in the same room and text, Insta, or Snapchat each other. Any FaceTime with a teacher would be minimal and be limited to a welcome and a goodbye, while interactions would have to continue mainly through the computer in order for those at home to also be involved. Now let's consider what this means for the teachers. Logistically, teachers would see half their students one time per week, never see the other half, still need to be in front of their computers to continue to instruct the 75% of students at home, not be able to attend to an individual student's needs in person any better than they can now over the computer due to the need for distancing, not be providing direct instruction any differently than they currently do via distance learning, need to clean and sanitize in between each class. The spray we will be provided takes 10 minutes to dry. We only have 10 minutes between classes. Not an effective situation. Need to multitask to an even greater extent. Trying to teach online is already 10 times harder than in person. Be responsible for students online and in person. The quality of instruction for one of those groups is going to suffer, and maybe both. Personally, teachers would be exposed to the entire school population over the course of the week, 800 to 1,800 students, potentially bring the virus home to their families, spend more time cleaning and sanitizing, reducing the time available to plan, grade, or interact with students, experience greater levels of stress leading to poorer health overall and a greater potential to get sick, even with a cold or seasonal flu. Try to endure the mental and physical demands of being spread thinner and thinner to meet these new demands of the job, and many will break. I have been a teacher for 23 years and a parent for 18 and a half. I like to think I know my students and teenagers in general. A few things I predict. A majority of students won't wear masks properly, remain 6 feet apart in the halls or classrooms, refrain from touching, for example, shaking hands, have supplies such as earphones, charging cables, art supplies, gym clothes, etc. Also, bathrooms will be problematic, for example, timing, number of people, cleaning, even when teachers will be able to go since they will be cleaning in between classes. Lunch will be problematic with seating, cleaning, serving, etc. Since students will have study hall, lunch, behaviors may be challenging. At home, students would have time to relax and get away from school for a few minutes. Study hall is like adding a class. This is not going to go over well. Many students won't return to the school building due to parental choice, thus making the exposure risk fewer, but the demands of in-person remote learning the same. Custodians will be pushed further and harder than ever before to maintain the sanitizing and disinfecting protocols necessary. Why are we putting students and other adults at risk for no tangible benefit? I truly feel there is no upside for the students in a return to school in this manner. Everyone at home means that we are all in this together. Actions going to school, staying home, online, in person, coming, going. This isn't together, it's chaos. It is risking our students' and teachers' health and mental well-being. Oh, and did I mention our school is under construction? We will have even less flexibility regardless of the structures put in place for the renovation. I am begging the board and superintendent to reconsider this plan to return to school in this manner. Be the leader that put our students first and the health and mental welfare of the teachers second, and doesn't rush to return with a plan that does little more than offer the appearance of a benefit for everyone. Our next comment is from Kelly Fodell. Hello, I'm writing to express my support for virtual learning and my apprehension about the return to in-person learning plan, specifically steps B and C, which outline dates for certain students to return to the classroom. With Dr. Bolson addressing this topic at tonight's board meeting, I offer a few concerns and questions in regard to the limited hybrid plan. One, limited hybrid is defined as 1 day per week of in-person instruction. This would mean that 25% of a particular class is in-person and 75% of the class is virtual on any given day of the week. How will teachers be instructing two groups at once? In speaking with a number of HCPS teachers, they are under the impression that they will have to be focused on their computers to monitor the live Teams meetings, supervise the virtual students, and engage virtual students in instruction. How exactly can they do interactive in-person lessons at the same time? Two, will the students who are in person be on their computers and logged into the class Teams meeting and doing assignments on its learning, like the other 75% of the class who are virtual? If so, any notion of in-person instruction is really just semantics. Yes, they'll be seated in their homeroom classroom, but their teacher will be doing most instruction virtually, so kids will still be isolated and learning via a screen. How is that any different than what's happening in the learning support centers? Three, if the teacher is doing in-person instruction, how do the virtual students stay safe online, receive constant supervision, and engage in the lessons? Four, now that some students will be in the classroom, teachers will have to wear masks. This ruins the huge benefit of virtual learning, in which kids can see their teacher's whole face and smile. A mass teacher is going to be very isolating and difficult for virtual kids to make a good connection. Five, how is this logistically possible in secondary schools where all the students have unique schedules and do not have a small cohort? How can you keep kids safe during class changes? Will students sit in their homerooms all day and just do other classes virtually? Six, will you do temperature screenings of all students? What sort of PPE will you provide? It is not appropriate to hand teachers a thin cloth mask and leave them to pay for everything else they need. I strongly believe this plan will make the the entire educational experience worse for all stakeholders. We lose consistency and drastically elevate risks for not much more than the virtual learning most students are already receiving safely at home. This is unfair to both teachers and students. The cost-benefit analysis just doesn't make sense. I implore you to pump the brakes. Focus on safe, manageable, in-person opportunities for high-risk and special education students for now. Please keep the majority of the student and staff population fully virtual as originally planned. Thank you. Our next comment is from Brandon Beerhouse. Hello, I am writing as a parent of a child in first grade in HCPS and as a 12-year teacher of HCPS. Though I appreciate the plan to start getting students back into school, I do not feel it was very well thought out. I feel those tasked with putting together the plan were pressured to do so by government officials and the $10 million offered to counties that get students back. Administrators, supervisors, teachers, and any other stakeholders that should have been a part of this conversation were not included. Those that created this plan have not been a part of writing curriculum or teaching virtually. We are just getting to a point where most teachers and students are starting to feel comfortable with virtual learning, and now it is going to be changed. I truly believe the instruction that students receive will be impacted negatively by having students attend once a week. Those students that come on that day still have to follow along on their devices virtually, and teachers are not able to be, are not allowed to be within 6 feet of their students and help them if needed. They are still getting virtual learning, even if in the building. We as teachers were told, don't change the way we have been teaching virtually. Then what is the point of having students come into the building? Oh, they are supposed to have their devices with them as well. As a parent of a child who has not received a device from the county, my kid is not bringing our family device into school. Not going to happen. We will be keeping our children home virtually until a better plan is developed. Speaking of my daughter, it is imperative that she sees her teachers talk. Teachers will be required to wear masks while teaching now. At an age where they observe everything, watching the movement the teacher makes with their mouths when pronouncing words is so important now, and that will be taken away. Her teacher has been amazing. You rock, Mrs. Bird. This new plan is only going to make things more difficult for all teachers and students. What about asynchronous Fridays? Teachers were given that day for professional development, staff meetings, planning, office hours, etc. I, for one, do not want students in my room when I am in a curriculum meeting, instructional leadership team meeting, department meeting, staff meeting, etc. What happens if a teacher resigns or retires before October 12th because they do not feel comfortable starting with students? What will happen to those students that just lost their teachers? I know I was supposed to keep this short and within 3 minutes. I hope I did. There's so much more wrong with this plan that I could discuss. But again, as a parent who is seeing their child and her teachers absolutely crushing virtual learning, and as a teacher who feels this plan will fail before it even starts, do not approve this plan. I want to be with students face to face, but the time isn't right and this is not the way. Thank you. Our next comment is from Reagan Bennett. Why is HCPS trying to reinvent the wheel with the newest version of the reopening plan? Carroll County and Frederick County have student populations similar to that of Harford County, and both counties appear to be implementing plans very similar to what HCPS drafted in July. You can also view a more innovative approach developed by the Floral Park School District in Long Island, New York, which states that due to survey results, the district will not be implementing a hybrid plan, but rather returning to 5 days a week in person. All three of these plans were developed by prioritizing collaboration and communication with the district stakeholders to best meet the needs of the teachers and students. These plans appear to be much more mature than what HCPS has proposed to date. Considering HCPS's struggle to finalize a plan, why not leverage what other districts have managed to develop? HCPS's newest plan appears to be a logistical nightmare with unrealistic expectations for teachers and is too disjointed to serve the best interests of our students. Great leaders motivate, inspire, and empower others to achieve a vision. Strong leadership is needed now more than ever to bring our community together to meet the educational needs of Harford County. Please, no more finger pointing, and instead obtain the information that you stated is needed to make informed decisions and rely upon the knowledge of others to develop a collaborative path forward. Thank you. Our next statement is from Stacy Korber. As a teacher, this plan does not provide for the best learning opportunities for our students. I have worked 12 to 15 hour days and on weekends since I returned to duty, and I said to my family, it is the only safe way to make this work, so I was willing to commit well beyond my duty hours. The proposed plan will only make my teaching more difficult to access as I will now be masked and speaking. The commute hours while safely at home, I was gladly exchanging as unpaid work hours. It also allowed me to be at home in case my high schoolers' online learning needed support and to eat lunch together and be here, even if I was plugging away on my laptop. I will not be sending them back to school as long as they can safely remain virtual. I will prioritize my family on the hours beyond my duty day moving forward to be sure their mental health and mine are attended to. The only two things I can gather as beneficial from this plan is testing how many can fit before an outbreak occurs and me providing a service for childcare for those who need it. Little ones with masks in my room, spread apart from each other and myself while I'm teaching with a mask through a computer, is only going to make learning virtually more difficult for all and risky for many. In the original plan, I expected this to roll out after first semester in this way and was prepared as that decision would get our community safely through Thanksgiving and winter holidays as well as flu, while allowing us to safely see elderly family members who are also isolated. Now I am potentially at risk for making people I care about sick. Additionally, where are the substitute teachers coming from for regular days off and appointments teachers need to take care of? When all virtual, we had videos and playlists they could asynchronously from home. But now who will watch the children in our classrooms? Our next comment is from Laura Schenk. Thank you for the opportunity to address the board and provide a public comment. I appreciate the efforts by everyone to support the education of Harford County children. However, I have dire concerns in the following areas. It appears that no preparation was made for students that require accommodations. A one-size-fits-all approach does not work. This current model leaves no room for accommodations. Virtual learning does not work for every child. Why was this special population not clearly addressed in your plans? Learning centers do not provide the support services required. What are you planning to do moving forward to meet the needs of this population? Until this is properly addressed, I fear that you are further widening the gap for these children who require extra support. When children begin to return to class, will students with special learning needs be a priority? Parent-teacher conferences are not happening. Why? This is needed now more than ever. What is the support system for parents? We are functioning as learning assistants without the proper training or support. It is crucial during these unprecedented times that parents and teachers work as partners. Why are you eliminating this tried-and-true method of fostering parent-teacher partnerships? Leaving it open for parents to reach out and schedule an appointment Intentional advising is a known model for success in the world of education. Information has not been shared regarding how students will be graded on first quarter report cards. How are parents supposed to assist children in meeting learning outcomes if we don't know how they will be assessed? How are we supposed to monitor their progress without parent-teacher conference? Thank you for your time and consideration. I look forward to your response and how you will address these areas of concern. Our next comment is from Brian Harefield. Dear Harford County Board of Education members, I'm writing as both parent of a kindergartner and the spouse of a teacher in HCPS to express my sincere concern with the new plan communicated last week. I've heard your meeting of a small number of adults being held virtually to discuss sending large numbers of teachers and children into the same room or building. I hope this is not the case, as that would be largely hypocritical and indicative of the lack of reasoning in the plan. Teachers, staff, parents, and students that were told that the school year would be started virtually and reassessed in late January. Many families made plans for how to manage their work-life education balance based on this message and spent money to set up for several months of virtual schooling. I have rearranged my work schedule to accommodate my wife's teaching and to be able to provide the necessary support for my own two sons. Our daycare closed potentially permanently due to COVID-19, and while we are on wait lists for several daycares, we had a plan in place to carry us through until late January based on your published statement. We also spent money on setting up classrooms for my wife and son, as well as purchasing additional devices that were promised but not delivered to make virtual teaching and learning more successful. In a recent board meeting, one of the board members, whom I believed mentioned he was a practicing doctor, spoke to the rising pediatric cases in our county. The state of Maryland has seen between 100 and 150 pediatric cases each of the last 4 days, representing over 20% of daily case totals. For those arguing the virus is low risk for kids, I would argue that we have no idea what the long-term impact may be. Furthermore, increased cases among children will contribute to community spread. The staff are not children and may themselves be high risk. A few days ago, the Baltimore Sun reported that Maryland surpassed 15,000 hospitalizations from 118,519 cases of COVID-19. That's a 12.6% hospitalization rate, or roughly 1 in 8 cases. The Hopkins reported positivity rate for Maryland has been between 5.1% and 7.6% for the date shown since 5 September. The World Health Organization recommended rate for beginning to reopen things is a rate below 5% for consecutive 14-day period. The news has reported that HCPS has sent home and quarantined upwards of 100 students and staff in the first 2 weeks of LSCs. An outbreak among staff in a Southern Maryland elementary school was just reported Wednesday. The U.S. reported nearly 73,000 pediatric cases in the two-week period from 27 August to 10 September, representing roughly a 15% total increase in pediatric cases that coincides with students returning to schools in some fashion across parts of the country. Things have not drastically improved in our state or community from a virus standpoint, and yet suddenly we are rashly trying to move forward. The only thing that has changed is that funding has been tied to gradually reopening for in-person learning. Teachers and students have finally settled into a schedule and are starting to get comfortable. Now you plan to send teachers into the school to continue to teach remotely. All students will receive a diminishing learning experience because their teachers will be forced to wear a mask on screen and will be taking on significant additional responsibilities in the classroom. The students in the learning support centers will suffer because they will no longer have two staff members dedicated to helping them navigate technology issues and maintaining their safety. When teachers are forced to assist with this, a large number of students at home will be left waiting. My wife is unable to help our son with issues while she is teaching because it is taking every ounce of her focus. However, now you want to add more to their plate by making them responsible for multiple students in the classroom learning virtually. Have you sat in any live sessions yourself? Teachers will still be teaching virtually while proctoring in class, serving as tech support, helping maintain CDC guidelines, etc. Have teachers received proper training to be put in this situation? This plan reduces the current learning experience for all students and teachers involved while increasing risk to students, staff, and family. It is a lose-lose proposal. The LSC students will suffer, as will the students learning from home. Both sets of students deserve undivided attention. I've provided data that indicates we are not at a point where we should be moving forward with more people in school buildings, especially when it is not increasing in-person learning. Where is the data showing the demand for more students in the learning centers? Are you asking teachers to come back into the buildings because you are unable to find people to staff learning centers as they are currently set up? Have you collected data from the past 2 weeks from parents, teachers, and students about how things are going? Has this data been collected on a school-by-school basis? I'm assuming your decision is based on evidence and that you are confident you can provide a safe environment for all involved. If this is the case, I would expect this data to be presented in the following discussions. There are still far too many unknowns and holes in the so-called plan concerning both safety and learning. You need to continue to evaluate how the current virtual learning environment and learning centers are going, as you have only 2 weeks of data, assuming you've been collecting it, while continuing to plan for how to safely reopen and monitoring the virus levels in our community. There's really no benefit that I can see from the proposed plan. There's no data to justify it, and the timing seems very suspiciously tied to the promise of funding for gradually reopening. This should be a simple vote. I truly hope you decide to vote no for this plan and continue as previously decided with virtual learning until late January and reassess it as that date approaches. It was said all summer that this was a county decision. You should not cave to the financial incentives to the detriment of all your hardworking students and teachers. Our next statement is from Tina Irvin. Please return children to the classroom for instruction, not virtual instruction in a classroom. My first grader is so far behind from missing half of her kindergarten year, and now the virtual learning is not beneficial for her. I am 100% for reopening schools to normal operations. Our next statement is from Debbie Trensish. As a grandparent of children in Harford County Elementary Schools, I encourage you to get the students and teachers back in the classroom. Education of our children is so important and is worth the effort and real and perceived risks involved in making this happen. If parents choose not to send their children back, they have the right to choose to learn virtually. Teachers have always been aware of the risk of working with children. We do not close the schools for the flu, which causes illness and even death in persons with comorbid conditions. Do we stay paralyzed by fear, or do we move forward with all reasonable precautions, as I did when I returned to work in June as a dental hygienist? Actually going back did more to dispel my fear than staying home worrying about every possible scenario. Children are very low risk, and many of the children are playing sports and doing other things that pale in comparison to the importance of resuming their in-person education. There's risk to everything we do in life, driving a car, crossing a street, etc. Do we continue to be paralyzed by fear, or do we move forward putting the education of our children in a position of primary importance? Our next statement is from Thomas Eakin. I am very opposed to reopening schools due to the health risks to our children. Our next statement is from Alan Sakuro. So far, HCPS has made the right decision in keeping the kids at home. It has been proven time and again that when school systems open, outbreaks occur. As we've seen this week, even having the learning centers open, a minimum capacity scenario, has resulted in the need to quarantine staff and children. There are two narratives that can be taken from the learning center scenario. One, the response and policies in place are working, and two, we are unable to even minimally occupy schools without COVID popping up. These scenarios do not need to be exclusive. I am personally glad that those with symptoms and those that they come in contact with are immediately notified and required to quarantine. However, this also clearly illustrates that we are still currently completely unable to control the public health threat. Further, I have written Governor Hogan, but will reiterate here, I understand that schools are being incentivized to reopen for face-to-face instruction. This is a disgusting proposition. Taking the politics out of it, a public health risk should not be political anyway. This is equivalent to incentivizing putting children's lives at risk. I'm curious as to what HCPS and Maryland's plan is for addressing when children start dying. How are you planning to bring them back to us? I am once again imploring HCPS to remain closed, remain virtual until at least January 22nd, 2021, as was the original plan. At that point, it will be required to reassess. However, right now, it is not safe. As I am sure you are aware, COVID has become entirely political. There is less and less accurate information available daily as the board makes these decisions. I ask them to consider the following. The U.S. has more cases and more deaths than any other country in the world. More specifically, both India and China have approximately quadruple our population and have roughly 86,000 and 4,600 deaths, respectively. Our nation's leadership has, by their own admission, downplayed the severity of COVID, meaning we have been making plans based on information that suggests we are safer than we are. Every school system that has reopened that I am aware of has seen a spike in cases. Last but not least, I will state the obvious. We are about 6 weeks from a presidential election. As we have seen, the current administration is more concerned with re-election than with the safety of the public. I sincerely hope that HCPS will continue to make the right choice, the choice to keep children home, the choice to put safety first, the choice that while it outrages some is the choice the entire board signed up to make when you took the positions you occupy. The choice is to put the children first no matter what else is going on. Today is September 19th, 2020. 201,735 Americans dead and counting. Our next comment is from Casey Chisholm. Superintendent Bolson and the Harford County Board of Education, as a parent of a new HCPS kindergarten student, I implore you to not cave to political pressures and bribery from Larry Hogan to force a reopening of schools before it is safe to do so. The plan being proposed tonight, essentially expanding the HCPS learning support centers by having students come in approximately once per week to learn virtually from their teachers via MS Teams, is absolutely not enough reward for all of the risk. What is the benefit? Let's look at my kindergartner, Henry. Once per week, he could attend school. What does one day of in-school learning achieve for him? It disrupts his schedule. It makes him adapt to multiple learning settings rather than learn to excel in one. Once per week, he would be stuck in a mask all day, unable to play with friends, and unable to get what anyone would truly consider real in-person instruction. On his three virtual days, the quality of his instruction would likely suffer. With multiple students live in the room, teachers who were virtual and unmasked, smiling, showing him how a mouth makes phonics sounds, will be masked for safety. The biggest benefit of virtual schooling in this time is that our kids can have a sense of normalcy in relationship with their caring educators. They would be stripped of this. The benefits are simply not worth it. My heart aches for the teachers and staff who are being forced in to dangerous, risky situations at all due to playing politics. Every teacher I know yearns to be back with students, but it should not come at risk of their own health and safety. What of the teachers who are single parents or who are partners with another educator? I keep hearing that if you, as a parent, are scared, keep your children home. Well, for our educators, proposals like the one being considered tonight steal the choice from them. It is unconscionable. Our teachers and staff are not guinea pigs. Our littlest learners are not guinea pigs. Our neediest learners are not guinea pigs. Do not treat them as such. My own child will not be the first in line for this experiment. He will remain home and safe and learning to love school. What teachers have done over the first week of virtual instruction for kindergarten students is nothing short of incredible. I commend all of them who I know are putting so much time and effort and energy into their students. Now is not the time to pull the rug out from underneath all of us. Please do not vote to pass this illogical partisan measure. Our next statement is from Lindsay Gilmore. Good evening to Superintendent Bolson, the members of the board, and all of those listening at home. Thank you for the opportunity to submit a public comment and for taking the time to read our comments for all to hear. I come to you as a member of multiple stakeholder groups. I'm a proud graduate of Harford County Public Schools. I'm the mother of three Harford County students. Additionally, I'm a proud educator in Harford County. While I appreciate the work being done to safely bring students back into the school building, I am unsure why the board meetings continue to be conducted via teleconference. The boardroom is of great enough size for all members of the board to be socially distanced in masks and participate in person. There is no acceptable reason why decisions to bring staff and students together are being made while board members sit in this remote locations behind computer screens. I respectfully ask that you begin to meet in person and begin to video record these meetings again so community stakeholders are able to see the faces behind the voices making the decisions for our schools. If you do not feel safe meeting in person, I would like you to consider what you are asking our staff, students, and their families to do. As I have listened to the public comments in recent meetings, I have heard parents begging and pleading for their students to return to the school buildings. I have been sending my sons to the learning centers at their schools and do appreciate this opportunity. The general public thinks of going to school as smiles, apples, getting on the bus, hugging your teacher, giving a high five to someone in the hallway, and being able to participate in activities such as recess, physical education with your class, instrumental music lessons, and vocal music. The reality is that schools, as experienced in the post-COVID world, is far from this. Students are expected to stay in their square, wear a mask all day, sit alone at lunch, and not have opportunities to play their instruments in school. Aspects of the school experience that we have taken for granted for years are no longer permitted. This rush to return to in-person learning has me concerned that many stakeholder groups may need to adjust their mental picture of what a day in the life of a student will actually look like. This brings me to my next point. How are we offering instrumental music to students while not allowing them to bring their instruments into the school? My son is in sixth grade band and was allowed to bring his drum pad into the learning center to participate in band from a breakout room in his center. Of course, he wore his mask and was able to safely play. One of my fourth graders wishes to pursue the violin. I asked for more information before going to rent his instrument and was informed that he was not allowed to bring his instrument to the learning center. This was confusing, so I reached out to HCPS leaders and was informed that they would look into it. What resulted was that my sixth grader sent me a text the next morning from his center that band is banned. In a follow-up email from that HCPS leader, he said that he corrected the situation. So now, because I just wanted to know why my other child cannot participate in live lessons with instrument in hand from the school building, nobody is allowed? From information I gathered when returning to in-person learning, music teachers will not even be permitted to have physical instruments in hand to model for their students. This is not supportive of the entirety of the Harford County Board of Education Strategic Plan Goal 4, provide safe, secure, and healthy learning environments that are conducive to effective teaching and learning, creativity, and innovation. Emphasis here on providing a learning environment that is conducive to teaching and learning, creativity, and innovation. The greater point I make here is that parts of school we will all look forward to for our children, the parts of the experience they look forward to, are not what they were in person prior to this time. There is no substitute for in-person instruction with an amazing teacher in a room full of classmates you can high-five and sit next to. This rush to get everyone back into buildings is not going to be the same experience many people are picturing. I hope that everyone takes that into consideration as decisions are made. Our next statement is from Joshua Weeks. I don't understand the rationale of bringing teachers back to the schools on October 12th. The superintendent's message stated that it is a necessary next step to ensure we are able to return students to in-person learning both safely and gradually, but this rationale makes no sense at all. As of now, parents who want to send their students to school have that option with the learning centers. Learning centers are staffed to help these students, and that has been met with over 100 people isolated with limited numbers of students and teachers in person. Teachers are now being asked to come back into the classroom October 12th to teach, but who exactly will they be teaching other than all the students online in the comfort of their own homes? The Learning Center students already have a system in place, so instead of staying safe at home, virtually teaching until we move back with 25% of the school population, teachers have to come in and teach from their classroom for no apparent reason. We will still be teaching online on our screen to students at home and may or may not even have anyone in our classroom. The only other students who may actually be attending classrooms until November are teachers' kids who will be forced to return to classrooms as well due to their parents working. I say being forced because many teachers will have to have their kids attend school due to a lack of childcare. So who gets to be fodder for inevitable outbreaks and setbacks before the full 25% and 50% population protocols come into play? The kids of teachers. That doesn't seem fair either, since the kids would be safe at home until November 16th if you just allowed teachers to continue to work from home until November 16th or a week prior. We don't need a month in the classroom to prepare for November 16th. Why force teachers to come into the classroom just to teach virtually in the same way we are already doing safe at home? I am also extremely concerned with the plan as it stands for elementary school teachers. Elementary teachers have a hard enough time keeping students engaged online for extended periods of time during these virtual lessons. If you are going to have them 4 to 8 students potentially in the classroom with them while they are still trying to teach everyone else at home online, this could be October 12th or when we go 25%, the elementary teacher will be overly stressed trying to help troubleshoot all the students in her classroom's technical issues. You're going to have teacher burnout very quickly in this model with such young students and technical issues. Lastly, I don't believe you currently have a firm enough plan on quarantine procedures. What to do if someone shows symptoms before, during, or after a school day, proper amounts of PPE, disinfectant procedures for movement of students, how to handle lunch, bathrooms, PE, locker rooms, etc. When the information was presented to teachers today and these questions came up, you provided all admin in the county no answers at all. Virus information, procedure, and protocols, it should have been the first thing you thought of before you did anything else. There is so much more I could say about why the plan for having teachers return October 12th is not the right decision and how you need to have a lot more things in place and thought out before you think of bringing students back. But I will leave it with this. Educators have been dealing with the stress of teaching with new technology at home during a pandemic and learning how to teach virtually. Let us continue to do so from our homes as we continue to juggle our families and kids' needs until we are actually getting back to school for real at 25 or 50% capacity. Our next statement is from Ashley Heckman. I am reaching out as a parent of 2 HCPS students as well as an educator in the county for over 10 years. The news of the reopening plan is not only shocking but extremely dismaying. The plan is vague and has given little consideration to logistical problems that teachers are going to face on a daily basis. I wish I had time to go into all these logistics now, but 3 minutes is not a sufficient amount of time to do so. However, let's start with the fact that this board meeting is meeting virtually because of safety concerns. Why is the same courtesy not being extended to our students and staff? Sitting in my faculty meeting, listening to my colleagues' questions being answered with, "We are working on it and we are not sure yet," is unacceptable. This is not the fault of the administrators as they are trying to adjust on an hourly basis as well. I have lost faith in HCPS to keep our students and staff safe, and for the first time in 12 years, I am considering leaving this profession that I love. I know that I am not alone in this consideration. Is HCPS ready to handle the amount of teachers who will leave because of this new plan? They do not even have a plan for the lack of daily substitutes at this point. As a parent, I will not be sending my children back into an ill-prepared and ill-equipped building. Simple protections such as hand sanitizer has not even been secured yet. It is sad that the lives of students and staff are expendable due to political pressure and the promise of some money. I am disappointed. I am angry. I am heartbroken at the prospect of no longer being a teacher, but I cannot be a teacher if I am dead. Our next statement is from Tara Casey. As a parent of 2 children enrolled in Harford County Schools, I am well aware of the challenges of virtual learning. However, safety is my top priority, and therefore I beg you to keep schools closed until the pandemic is truly under control. The science has shown that children do carry and transmit COVID-19. Children over the age of 10 transmit it at the same rate as adults. There are many vulnerable families in this county that cannot afford to have their children or grandchildren bring the virus home. Masks and social distancing sound good in theory, but they will not work in practice. Young children will not remember to be careful, and older children will feel invulnerable. If you think teachers are having trouble teaching virtually, then wait and see how much of an in-person school day is devoted to reminding children to follow safety protocols. Let's learn from other countries and other states. Israel closed down again due to outbreaks they are attributing to schools. Europe is struggling again, and school opening is listed as a cause. Even the Florida Department of Health has reported that 10,513 children under age 18 have tested positive since school started reopening for in-person teaching, an increase of 34%. The science is clear. COVID spreads when schools are open. Please let's honor the science and keep schools closed, if not for the teachers, then for the children, their families, and their community. Thank you for your consideration and time. Our next statement is from Hwa Young Strom. I apologize if I said that incorrectly. I urge the school board to return the Strive program students to in-person instruction as soon as possible. I know that the teachers and paras are doing the best that they can to teach these students in a virtual environment, but my 6th grade nonverbal ADHD autistic son is not getting the education that he needs with the current situation. My other 3 children in grades 8, 5, and 3 are able to get an adequate, if not ideal, instruction through the virtual platform. I understand and appreciate the need for most Harford County students to be taught virtually at home. However, I believe that special consideration should be given to those in the student populations whose needs warranted being placed in self-contained classrooms that operated largely outside of your regular student classes. After doing virtual school for 2 weeks with all of my children, I do not believe that my son in the STRIVE program is getting the same level of education as my other three children. I believe that the STRIVE students and staff can return to school with proper social distancing measures in place. Our next statement is from Gina Davis. I am writing in to express issue with the amount of screen time that is required of my 5-year-olds in kindergarten. The current expectations that are expected of the kindergarten students is not acceptable. 6 live meetings and offline work from 9:30 to 3 is too much. I am proposing that the board significantly trim the kindergarten experience to that of essential education and needs only. A half day would be ideal, and instruction should only include critical learning and not include things like specials. Our next statement is from Aaron Buckland. I would like to applaud the school board and Dr. Bolson for their handling of the return to school. Thank you for relying on scientific data and health professionals to inform your decisions. Thank you for putting the health of our students, their families, the staff of HCPS, and the entire community at the forefront of your decisions. I only ask that you continue this rational approach as pressure mounts from community members to open schools rapidly in the middle of a pandemic. Thank you for putting safety first. Our next comment is from Gregory Croxford. I'd like to comment on the currently proposed plan for returning to in-person education. Back in August, after the pivot away from the hybrid model, parents were informed that all virtual education would be the plan until at least January. Why are we now discussing returning children and educators to the classroom earlier than that? Nothing has substantially changed in the last 4 weeks that should dictate deviating from the original agreed-upon plan. We're still in the middle of an uncontrolled pandemic, and there are no new treatments or vaccines available. Additionally, why are we eager to continually force change upon our children in this format? Children, educators, and parents are beginning to adapt to the current plan, but now you are asking us to change formats yet again. Please keep your word and continue this all-virtual model until at least January. It is the least disruptive right now for our children. It appears there is a very vocal minority of people who are attempting to put the community at risk. To me, it seems like the current plan in place buys time to see how things unfold. I understand that in current times, people are less patient, but this is a time for patience. Keep the current plan in place and let's continue to see how it goes. We've only completed a single week of this journey. You don't change strategies after the first batter takes the first swing. Additionally, the constant pivoting between plans doesn't allow for people to plan or adapt. We and other parents have changed schedules, made accommodations to the current plan. By proposing these new plans, it keeps parents from being able to plan for the future. I can't plan for next month now because I'm not sure if my child will be in physical school or at home. If I know she will be at home attending school virtually synchronously, then I can plan accordingly. The new plan raises a lot more questions. In a situation during a COVID-19 exposure, assuming the class gets quarantined, what about the children on the same bus? We know the virus spreads airborne once it enters the ventilation system. Wouldn't this amount to a school-wide exposure? We should also be considering the educators in this plan as well. Do we know if they feel safe returning to the classroom? I've seen many teachers doing a fantastic job with distance learning. While it is a significant change, they are doing amazing work adapting and keeping kids engaged. Educators, given their significant role in this, should have a substantial say in the timeline on returning to the classroom. At this point, the only way to get children, educators, and faculty back in the classroom safely would be testing everyone every day. While this seems extreme, it's no more extreme than forcing children, educators, and faculty back in the classroom before it is safe. Thank you for your time. Our next comment is from Amanda Welling. I'm a parent of a 12th grader and a 6th grader. I'm also a nurse, work in a hospital setting, and have cared for COVID patients. I'm very well aware of health risks for the community. I strongly urge you to consider opening schools. This online model of education is doing more harm than good to our children. Give the parents a choice. I am curious if teachers have been polled, how many want to return to the classroom, how many feel the risk is too great. You've not been very open with information about plans to open. COVID-19 is a virus. It is not going to disappear. We need to learn to live with it. There will be no magic vaccine anytime soon. The mental health issues caused by isolation, family stress, financial strain is mounting. How long do we let this happen? The Board of Education needs to do what is best for our children and get them back into the classroom. It is not okay that my 6th grader has cried every day since school has started. It is not okay that high-risk children do not have a safe place or proper support services. Your bag lunches are not enough. Our kids want to see their teachers. Teachers are essential employees. My son is working, I am working, and my husband is working outside the home. Our kids' mental health and education is suffering, and we can do something about it. Refusing to do so is shameful. Our next comment is from Sarah Croxford. I have a few questions for you regarding the in-person plan for schools in 2020-2021. Under the current plan with instruction being in person, I'd like to understand how drills will work while practicing social distancing. Two specific types of drills that commonly happen in schools are active shoot drills and bus evacuation drill. How will these look during the pandemic? How will children's safety from COVID-19 and being prepared for an emergency be balanced? Two, previously it was said that Harford County will be distance learning until January. What made the board change their minds to push forward at this time? Three, what happens to all the hardworking, passionate, invaluable staff that doesn't feel it's safe to return to their position at school or is considered high risk and can't return? Do we simply lose those people who have poured their heart and soul into HCPS? I do want to address our current situation with virtual learning. Yes, there have been hiccups, but it has improved every single day. I thank the staff for working so hard and continuing to pivot in this unprecedented time. We are living through a pandemic. School is not childcare, and schools choosing distancing learning should not be seen as an inconvenience, but a way to keep us all healthy until we can all safely return together. Our next comment is from Kristen Terpe. Problem number one, we did not receive the proper documents. On the first week of actual virtual learning, the teacher was using a specific document to teach from for the first 3 days. We texted emails that we didn't have this document daily for 3 days until we finally received one for our child. Problem number two, nothing gets done. Lessons are 9:30 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. and there's minimal actual learning. Packets would be better than live learning. Problem number three, kindergarten students cannot sit from 9:30 to 3:30, even with breaks. Problem number four, parents cannot always sit with children and do work. We have work. There are other siblings who are neglected and need attention. I pay $130 a week to send my child somewhere to get help with his virtual learning, 2 days a week when I am at work. And even there, it is impossible to manage virtual learning.